We turn in God's Word to the book of Exodus and to chapter 20, where we continue our study of the Ten Commandments. And this morning we come to the fifth commandment, found in verse 12 of the chapter. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12 reads as follows. Honour your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The first four commandments that we've considered thus far have to do with how we are to relate to God. They are generally referred to as the first table of the law. The last six commandments, often referred to as the second table of the law, have to do with how we are to relate to one another. There's a direct correlation between how God wants people to relate to him and how he wants them to relate to one another. The first four commandments teach us how we are to love God, and the last six commandments teach us how we are to love our neighbor. We cannot properly love our neighbor without first loving God. Those who have no respect for God, no interest in God, no love for God, will not have much respect for other people around them. So our success in keeping the last six commandments is very much dependent upon our success in keeping the first four commandments. The second table of the law begins with the fifth commandment. And it's not surprising that God, in telling us how he wants us to treat one another and to treat our neighbors, starts with the family. Loving our neighbor begins in the home. The home is the training ground for how we will relate to other people outside the home, in the community. The relationship between parent and child is of primary importance and is the beginning of every human society. A healthy parent-child relationship will lay a firm foundation for the child relating well and contributing well to society when they reach adulthood. If a child dishonors his or her parents, it is not very likely that they will honor others in society later in life. They are more likely to be a burden to society. The church father Augustine once posed a rhetorical question. He asked, if anyone fails to honor his parents, is there anyone he will spare? And the obvious answer to that is no. There is no one he will spare. If they did not respect authority in their home, they're not very likely to respect authority outside of the home. As we come to unpack this fifth commandment, we need to be clear about what God is commanding in it. And we begin, therefore, with the clear mandate of the fifth commandment. The clear mandate of the fifth commandment. The very first word of the commandment, translated honor, is from a Hebrew word which means heavy or weighty. When we say that someone's word carries weight, we mean they have significant influence, significant authority in a particular sphere. A well-respected professor who has published numerous books and papers in their field carries weight in academic circles. The Israelites would have understood this commandment, honor your father and your mother, to mean that their sons and daughters were to give due weight to their parents' position, to respect their authority, to give them the recognition they deserve because of their God-given authority. That's how we're to understand that word honor at the beginning of the commandment. And if parents are weighty, then they should not be treated lightly, as though they didn't matter, and as though their words and their counsel did not matter. They are to be respected by their children. Children present, this is certainly a command for you to heed. You may not like everything mummy and daddy tell you to do. They might tell you to do something you don't feel like doing. You have your own mind. But they will not ask you to do anything that will harm you. They love you and they want the very best for you. Respect them. As far as it is possible for you, honor your father and your mother by obeying them. And without doubt, many children and young people do honor their parents. But we all know very well that in this age, we are living in a society in which there are some children who do not honor their parents. They are insolent, they have a sense of entitlement, and they are rude towards their parents and others. And they speak to their parents with an air of a know-it-all, when the reality is they have an awful lot to learn. That's true of some, especially perhaps during teenage years. Mark Twain once wrote, "When I was 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly bear him. But by the time I was 21, I was amazed to see how much he had learned in 7 years." Of course, Mark Twain's father hadn't changed at all. It was Mark Twain himself who had changed. He had gradually developed into someone who could respect and honor his father, whereas at 14, he was only thinking of himself. Something else we need to clarify in this commandment is that honoring your father and mother is not always clear-cut. Interestingly, the commandment is not obey your father and mother. Although honoring your father and mother usually does mean obeying them, but there can be exceptions. We live in a world with all kinds of problems, some of them very complex. The traditional family of husband and wife and children has come under such a severe attack over the past 50 years or so. So that today there are all kinds of deviations from the traditional family unit. We have one-parent families. There are children who don't know who their father is. There are parents who have addictions of alcohol or drugs. How are the children of such parents to honor their mother and father? There's not an easy answer to that question. What about a son or a daughter who has a physically abusive father or mother? Or think of another situation which is not uncommon in some parts of the world. A Muslim young person hears the gospel and comes to faith in Christ and gets converted. The father of the family commands his son or daughter to convert back to Islam. Now, in that case, the new convert is right to obey God, their heavenly Father, rather than their earthly Father. In all of these and other scenarios, unquestioning obedience to a father and a mother is not the appropriate response from the son or daughter. But they still ought to find ways to honor their parents. It won't be easy, but part of that honoring is to seek to be at peace with the parent in as far as that is possible without sinning against God. The children of Christian parents most certainly are to obey their parents when their parents are seeking the very best for them. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." So there's a clear command for children of Christian parents. It's your duty to obey your parents in the Lord, because in God's eyes, that is right and it is good. By obeying their parents, they are demonstrating that they honor them. And parents also have a responsibility not to be unreasonable or cruel towards their children. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21, Paul says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." So this is the clear mandate of the fifth commandment. Children are to honor their parents. Without their parents, they would never have come into this world at all. And God has given their parents authority over them. Now, secondly, we're to learn from this 12th verse the comprehensive application of the fifth commandment. The comprehensive application of the fifth commandment. There is a wider and a more application implicit in the fifth commandment. The fifth commandment does not lose its significance when we age. It does not just apply to children and young people who are in the same house as their parents. It applies to everyone who has parents. When a young person leaves the family home to go and live elsewhere, they're not just to forget all about their father and mother. They are still to honor them. That honor may take a different form: keeping contact with them, visiting them, being willing to listen to them, and still being willing to receive advice from them. When someone gets married, they are still to honor their father and mother, being concerned about their well-being as mum and dad get older. And then also we need to remember that the Ten Commandments are a summary of God's moral law. There's wider application with each one of them. And in regard to this fifth commandment, the wider application is that when God commands us to honor our parents, he is also commanding us to honor anyone who has legitimate authority over us. This was something that's not so natural to us from the fifth commandment, but it was very natural to the Israelites, because they used the term father and mother not only in relation to the home, but also outside the home. In 1 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 11, David called out to Saul, "My father, see, yes, the corner of your robe in my hand." David had sneaked up on Saul in a cave, and he could have killed him because Saul was in pursuit of David to kill him. But David recognized Saul's authority calling him his father, even though Saul had abused his authority and was seeking to kill him. The Israelites sometimes used the same title for the prophets. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 12. There Elisha called out to Elijah when Elijah was being taken up to heaven by a whirlwind, "My father, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." Israel's elders were also honored as the fathers of their people, so that the high priest addressed a gathering of men in Acts chapter 7 and verse 2 as brethren and fathers. The prophetess Deborah called herself a mother in Israel as she led the Israelites in victory in Judges chapter 5 and verse 7. And a wise woman who wanted to save her city called out to Joab in 2 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 19, "You seek to destroy a city and a mother in Israel." From these few examples, we see how the fifth commandment has wider application, as the Israelites naturally applied it to other relationships in their nation which involved authority. The wider application of the fifth commandment for us is about respecting authority in society. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 13 and 14, we read, "Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good." Now, there are many things about the ruling authorities of our day you might not like. Millions of pounds of taxpayers' money wasted on some very unworthy causes. Inefficiency in the running of public services to the detriment of so many people. Probably the health service is top of the list in that particular category. Or you might see the government as incompetent and untrustworthy. When you think on the past debacle over COVID regulations. Or you might see the government as oppressive, raising interest rates to try to decrease inflation, yet inflation is still high and you're struggling to pay your bills. And it would be easy to be cynical and to have no respect at all for government. Yet God calls us all to respect those who rule over us and to pray for politicians and to obey the laws of the land. And as Romans 13 verse 1 says, "Be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God." Unless an authority tries to force you to do something that is blatantly against God's word, we are all to respect the authority. And the same applies to work. The fifth commandment regulates our attitude to your employer. You're to respect the boss and to show honor to your employer. The fifth commandment also speaks to how you're to relate to leaders within the church. Those who hold office have been endowed with a certain authority in the church by God, and God expects that to be recognized by all. The pastors, elders, and those congregations that have deacons in the church, they are the spiritual fathers in the household of God. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17, "Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor. There's that word honor again. Let them be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who rule well. Ways you honor the elders is by praying for them, encouraging them, listening to them, and accepting their counsel. So in these ways, a much more comprehensive application, we see a much more comprehensive application of this fifth commandment that goes beyond the family unit. And as we come to the second part of the commandment, we see that this is one commandment among the ten that also has a promise attached to it. And so we want to come thirdly to this promise. And our third heading is the covenanted promise in the fifth commandment. The covenanted promise in the fifth commandment. The full commandment is, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Now that promise is not a guarantee that every child who honors their parents will live to 90 and beyond. Nor does it mean that if someone dies in youth, they must have been very guilty of breaking this commandment. The expression, be long upon the land, has more to do with the fullness of God's blessing. When the Israelites received the Ten Commandments, they were on their way to the promised land. If they were to reach it, and if they were to conquer it, and enjoy it for any length of time without enemies being a constant thorn in their side, then it was very important that they honored their parents. Failure to honor their parents would incur God's judgment upon them and shorten their days upon the land which God had given them. It's in this sense that Paul instructs the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 2 and 3. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. The inference is that if the Ephesians do not honor their father and mother, things will not go well for them. They will lack blessing in their lives, and it could ultimately result in them not living long on the earth. Children who have Christian parents are in a very privileged position. To have parents who pray for you, who hold family devotions, who teach you about the Lord Jesus and take you to church from your earliest days, that is a tremendous privilege. And children, if you honor your parents by listening to their instruction to you from the Bible and by putting your trust in the Lord Jesus as your own personal Savior, the promise of this commandment will be yours. Your days will be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Now we need to qualify that a little also. The land for the Israelites at this time in Exodus was the promised land of Canaan. But the promised land is also a metaphor pointing to salvation in Jesus Christ and the promise of the kingdom of God. In the simplest terms, it is the promise of an eternal inheritance, the promise of heaven. Honor your father and mother by confessing your sins to God and trusting in Christ and your days will be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you, for that land that God will give you is heaven, where there is abundant blessing, and your days in heaven will never end. That's the promise by covenant God has made to all who honor their father and mother by obeying their instruction to give their lives to Christ. Many people first come to hear of Christ and know of Christ through the influence of godly parents, some of them when they are children. And what an honor for parents it is to see their own children listening to and acting upon their gospel instruction. It's a great honor, and it's an evidence of God's covenant faithfulness. This fifth commandment is an exhortation to anyone who hasn't yet come to faith in Christ. Do you have parents who have been praying for you for years? Parents who have explained the gospel to you, but you still haven't given your life to Christ? Would you not honor your parents by listening to their counsel and giving your life to the Lord Jesus? Then you would know forgiveness of your sins, and the promise of this commandment would take on a new relevance for you. God's promise of a land would be a reality, even heaven, and your days there would be eternal. There's one more aspect of this commandment that's worth noting. For the keeping of all the commandments find their fulfillment in Christ. We've considered thus far the clear mandate of the fifth commandment, the comprehensive application of the fifth commandment, and the covenanted promise in the fifth commandment. We consider fourthly the consummate fulfillment of the fifth commandment. The consummate fulfillment of the fifth commandment. Like all the other commandments, the fifth one is impossible for any of us to keep perfectly. We all fail in some way, which means we have broken God's law. Everyone has, except Jesus. Many people will be condemned to a lost eternity for breaking the fifth commandment, as much as for breaking any other commandment. But for the one who is trusting in Jesus, he paid the penalty for your sin in this area when he died on the cross. And more than that, and again, if you're trusting in him, he kept the fifth commandment perfectly on your behalf. He fully honored his parents throughout his life on earth. We've only one recorded instance of Jesus as a youth in Luke chapter 2, when he was 12 years old. And we're told at the end of that chapter that after he had returned from the feast of the Passover in Jerusalem to Nazareth with Joseph and Mary, his parents, that he was subject to them. Verse 52, the last verse of the chapter, says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." Earlier in the chapter, Joseph and Mary were a bit annoyed with Jesus, because they had traveled a whole day on the way home from Jerusalem before they realized that he wasn't among the company of travelers. And they had to go back to Jerusalem and look for him, and it took them 3 days to find him. But even in that instant, Jesus kept the fifth commandment by honoring his higher commitment to his heavenly Father. It wasn't as though he was up to no good in the absence of his parents. What was he doing? He was in the temple and he was sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions, so that they were amazed at his knowledge. When his parents expressed their anxiety, his response was, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" Joseph and Mary didn't really understand that answer. But Jesus was communicating to them that he had a higher father to whom he must show respect and honor first and foremost. And this was an occasion when honoring his heavenly father came into conflict with the honor expected by his parents. But in it all, he was not dishonoring them. And afterwards, he went to Nazareth and he subjected himself to them. When Jesus was in the throes of death on the cross, he instructed his disciple John in John chapter 19 and verses 26 and 27 to look after his mother Mary. Since Jesus was still a young man when he was put to death, he knew he was not going to be around on the earth to look after his mother Mary in his old age, or in her old age. But he provided for her in his dying moments by asking John to care for her in his place, to be like a son to her. From the cradle to the cross, Jesus honored perfectly his earthly mother and father and his heavenly father. He did what none of us could do as we ought to have done or ought to do. The consummate fulfillment of this commandment has been carried out by Christ. So if you have a father and mother, honor them while you live and while they live. But be thankful that where you fail or have failed, Christ has done perfectly what you could not do perfectly. So that if you're trusting in him, your failures are forgiven, and your days will be long in the land which the Lord your God will give you, even for all eternity in his kingdom. Amen.